not man. The problem with the Pharisees, they wanted to please man and not God. They wanted to show how godly they were through their prayers, when we're supposed to show God how godly we are, coming to Him, and how much we lack, so we come to Him. We're supposed to seek to pray in secret, that God may reward us openly. We're not to pray long, formulaic, fancy prayers in public, but heartfelt, fervent prayers to our God who is in heaven, being in our prayer closets and silent, that God once again may reward us openly. We don't repeat words over and over and over again for effect. We communicate what's in our heart. Well, this week we're going to look at what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Looking at not so much a formula, but as a way to determine the structure of a prayer. Showing worship of God as you ask for God's grace for God's glory. Now, this prayer was given to the apostles as an example of how to pray. They wanted to learn how to approach a holy God, that they might glorify Him as God, and that the God that answers prayer will then increase their faith. This was not a prayer to inform God of what their needs were. As we saw last week, God already knows that. It's a prayer to teach us just how powerful our God is, and to show the love of God for His children. Let us look at this amazing prayer. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. So Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Dear Heavenly Father, Creator of all heaven and earth, the one wise, only true God, hallowed be thy name. We cannot give enough praise, honor, and glory to your holy name. Lord, we see the evidence of God everywhere. We see who and what God is. We see through your word, prophecy unveiling before our eyes, knowing that you hold the future as you've created the past. And Lord, we have so many needs in this world because we are fallen people. We desire to grow closer to you. We desire to learn how to please you. We desire to bring our petitions to you because we know that you as God will answer those petitions. We know that you as God will make our lives glorious for you. And Lord, we know that you know our needs before we even ask them, and desire to give us the desires of our heart that we may please and serve you in spirit and in truth. Lord, you have the power. You are glorious. And Lord, we look forward to when your kingdom will be established and our faith will become sight. Lord, let us learn how to approach you in prayer. Let us learn how to glorify your holy name. Lord, this world does not take you seriously enough. This world does not realize the greatness and glory of you. And you showed us through this prayer exactly what that is. Let us learn from it. We ask it in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.
Amen.
As we look at this prayer, we realize it was not meant to be repeated word for word. Notice what he said. After this manner. He didn't say, use these words. There is no evidence that Jesus ever prayed this exact prayer. There is no evidence in the Bible that the apostles ever taught churches how to pray this exact prayer, or that they prayed it themselves. In fact, in Luke chapter 11, verse 2 to 4, the apostles came to Jesus and asked him to teach them to pray. And Jesus gave them the form of the Lord's Prayer, and the words were not exactly the same, showing that it's not the words that are important, it's the thoughts in the heart that are important. If the words were crucial, those two chapters would have had the exact same words. Now, the Catholic Church does think the words are critical. They use it as a penance. Say 14 Our Fathers for what you've done in the past week. In my case, it's probably about 400 Our Fathers. That's a different story. But what they're looking at, say these words, and as the penance for that week. They do have a form of godliness. They use the right words. But they deny the power thereof as they change a heartfelt, fervent prayer into the vain repetition that was condemned in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Once again, look at the words, after this manner. It is to give what is in our heart a structure to approach a holy God, to show them that we want to approach a holy God, and we want to glorify Him as God. We want to please Him, and He's showing us exactly how to do that. It involves an acknowledgement of whom we are praying to. We are praying to the eternal, immortal, all-powerful, creator God of the universe, who holds the past, the present, and the future in His hands, and has saved us by the power of blood shed on the cross for us. It shows that we trust us to hear Him. And it shows that we trust that He will answer those prayers. Not every prayer will have this structure. A request for immediate help facing a serious situation will not have this structure. But if we get together as a church for corporate prayer, if we get together as a church to come together for a certain need, if we go to our prayer closet to pray for an hour or whatever we want to pray for, it shows us a structure that we should use to make our prayers efficient. It helps our focus, our faith, and shows our trust in Him. Now, a proper prayer, we see, will have three parts. It'll have a preface, the petitions, and the power. So the preface. The preface shows exactly who God is. We see who we are addressing. Our Father. Our Father, the Almighty God, who by His grace and might hath redeemed us from our sins through the sacrifice of His only begotten dear Son, blood shed on the cross to pay our penalty. The one who calls us to worship and reverence Him as we share true fellowship one with another with the brethren. Reading of His grace in Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. He knows our fallen nature. He knows the unpayable sin debt we owe, and He sent His Son to pay that debt. Adopting us as sons, if we make that gift effective by our faith in that shed blood as the penalty paid for my sin. Pleased with our worship, letting us know from Psalm 103:13, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Danny, what you need?
I'm sorry, I just came from Massachusetts and I'm sort of on fire because I saw my grandsons. I haven't seen them since Christmas. Mm-hmm. And you would have loved it. I told them they got to meet you guys and they're going to come up late this summer. And they were teaching each other as we were reading the children's Bible. Mm-hmm. And I told them how you guys really like children. And they're really getting it in their hearts. And I'm so excited because the parents don't really love it much, you know?
Hey, well, need to teach them this prayer too. And praise God for it.
Thank you.
Children can pray. So, this Father is in heaven, where Psalm 33:13 says, behold the sons of man. He bids us to leave the God of this world to come to His throne of grace. Heaven cannot contain Him. He is all over. Heaven cannot contain Him. But He bids us to come to His throne because that is where He sits and that is where He wants us to come. That's a privilege that the high priest did not have in the Old Testament. The high priest could come to His throne of grace once a year. And if He didn't please Him, He was put to death. We can come to that throne of grace any time we want. Let's not be too familiar with that. We are approaching the holy creator God of the universe, who has adopted us as sons. Praise God for it and come to Him every time. But realize who this God is. Hallowed be Thy name. He is holy. We must remember His holiness and come to Him holy. We're made holy by the blood of Christ. There is nothing in me that is holy at all. There is nothing in me that has the right to approach God. There is nothing in me that He can want to come other than the fact He loves me so much as to make me holy by the blood, justifying me by Jesus Christ, and my holiness is imputed to me. Because of that, I can come to Him. But we need to realize that, recognize that, and worship Him because of that. We seek His forgiveness as we ask for mercy as the sinners we are. not presuming on his grace, but amazed that he calls us by his grace and desires to use us in his perfect plan and desires to adopt us as sons and daughters. Psalm 46:10 says, God will be exalted among the heathen. Do we live in a heathen nation today?
Yes.
Amen. Let us exalt him by focusing on his hallowed name and ensuring that he is exalted among the heathen, at least in this church. He will be exalted in his heathen nation eventually when he returns. He will be exalted as everyone bows down and claims him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But today, let us make sure, in this church at least, he is fully exalted. Thy kingdom come. We look forward to the day where our faith shall become sight, knowing it will happen by his word. We pray it will happen for his glory in his time and by his choosing. Showing we seek a better country, showing our affections are on him and not of whatever we can get in this world. Seeking his eternal righteousness, as we know that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God, when I'm lifted from this horrible body, I'll have my new body, and I'll be glorified with him, and I'll be with him forever. There's nothing that can be even close to better than that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we do not trust the sovereign God of the universe to be able to answer our prayers, if we think that he is unable to deliver the eternal prophecy or do his will, why do we bother to pray to him? He sits on his throne and is pleased to let us come to him for his glory. He's pleased to let us come, call him Abba Father. But we must come to him as Jesus did in the garden. Jesus had heavy, heavy things on his head. And he wanted to have that cup pass from him. But what did he say? Not my will, but thine. That's how we come to him. We lay our petitions in front of him, and we hear, we must say then, not my will, but thine, and he will give us the grace to handle whatever his will is as he sent angels to minister under Jesus Christ. In the preface, we see a proper focus, a proper reverence, and a proper understanding of just who God is. In the afternoon services, we're going to see some improper prayers. Let us seek him for his glory. Recognize him for who he is, the Almighty, Eternal, Sovereign, Creator, God of the universe. With that understanding, coming to him. Now I come to him and I call him Daddy. That's what Abba Father means. I call him that, not because I have any right to do so, but because he's given me the right to do so. I don't come to him on my own. He bids me to come to him, otherwise I wouldn't come. And I have to do it with the blood of Christ covering me, otherwise it is useless. But now I come to him as Daddy, and just like with my own father when I was young, I come with my petitions. Now, we must realize that every single prayer we pray is to glorify God. Now, does he know what you need to serve him? Does he know what you want to serve him? Does he know he's going to answer his prayer or not? The answer almost is obvious, yes. So, when we pray to him, we're not praying to give him some secret. We're not praying to show him what I need. We're not praying to do something that we don't think he can do. We're praying to glorify him. He's glorified to see us rely on him and to ask for the things we need. All I own is merely lent to me by him to accomplish his will, and he can take it back any time he so desires. As Job said in Job 1:21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I returned thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We ask God because we realize this. His name is blessed. He gives by his own choice. He will take away to teach us. He will do things for his glory and our good. And that is why we lay the petitions on in front of him. We ask God because he trusts he will give us what our temporal bodies need to accomplish his eternal spiritual will. Not new jets, big houses, riches beyond measure, but our daily bread to accomplish his will in our lives. Leaving tomorrow to his will and his provisions. Do I trust him today to give me what I need? Well, maybe I do, but do I trust him tomorrow? If I trust him tomorrow, I'll ask for what I need today. If I don't trust him, Lord, I need everything for the next 4 months. We show our faith by asking what I need today. Give me this day our daily bread. We ask because we realize we merit nothing. He gives everything to us as a gift. Asking as such, he's then pleased to give it to us. Because we realize that we merit nothing. We realize it's his love for us, his grace, that gives it to us. And therefore, once again, he is glorified and pleased to do so. We ask because we know he will give it out of his bounty. Turn over to Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Do you believe that? If you do, pray it. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son, notice the word there, son. This only works if you're a son of God, saved by his blood. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That's the first prayer. You ask for the Holy Spirit, it's given to you. Then you ask to do his will. If you're doing his will and wanting to get the things to do his will, he's pleased to give it to you because it shows your reliance on him and he gives you what you need to accomplish that will. Once again, I'd love to have a big jet, but I don't have to have a big jet to make Berean Baptist Church work, so he's not going to give it to me. If he does, maybe he's got a different calling, but that's later. It's up to him, not me. As we ask petitions, we realize we have a sin debt we cannot pay. So Christ paid our debt that he did not owe. We ask daily for forgiveness that we can please our Heavenly Father. We also acknowledge that we need to forgive others. We have an eternal debt, owed and canceled. They have minor annoyances against us in comparison to what we've done to offend our God. If we accept their forgiveness, we must show his forgiveness to others in agape love. Now, some people, that's the only Christ they will ever see is him working through us. If we're showing Christ work through us, it better be an accurate picture or they won't come to him. Now, God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He will give us what we need. If we don't forgive debt or something like that, it is very costly to us. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 and 25. But Matthew, chapter 18, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, basically a dollar. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. God has taken my sin away from me. God has given me a mansion in heaven. God has made me a part owner of heaven. That's what joint heir Jesus Christ is. What can you possibly take away from me on this earth that will compare to that? Take away everything I own? Who cares? I know what I got in heaven. So, if someone takes away from me, I'm going to forgive them, because I know what I have later. He only has my goods here, which are going to burn up when this world burns up. But if I want to hold on to that, and I want to show what the world does, and I'm going to get mad and get even, in fact, going to get even, escalate, it's not what the Bible says, and that's not what we need to do, and it says he won't forgive us. Very important words to remember there. Finally, we ask to avoid temptations. God does not tempt us, but he allows Satan to do so for our strength and our training. We pray he does not let us have temptations that are beyond what we can overcome. We pray that once in the temptations, he will empower us and deliver us from that evil. The word for deliver in the Greek is to break chains, loose bonds. We pray that instead of putting us into temptations, he takes us from Satan's realm and delivers us into the kingdom, and he will do so in his good time. All these petitions are based on the preface that we have a good God who can answer prayer. So we have the preface, showing who we know God is. We have the petitions. Well, what makes those petitions work? The power. How we close those prayers. The millennial kingdom is still to come, when Christ shall sit on the Davidic throne and rule in righteousness all over the earth. But God's kingdom is from eternity to eternity, and he sits on his throne right now. The closing doxology focuses on God's ability to answer and his right to rule in our lives. He is the eternal king, sovereign over the entire universe. He is our king, whether we agree to it or not. We have no choice in that matter. We will bow to him and say he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The question is when. Do we do it at our trial, or do we do it voluntarily and fall to him as his subject? He has the right to worship, demand worship as king. He's a good king. He provides training and goods to his princes and princesses, those adopted into his kingdom, based on faith in the blood of Christ for the remission of sins. As such, we bow to his reign of righteousness. Blessed is the man who recognizes God as king and adopted instead of being judged as a rebel. Now, with the kingdom comes the power to rule that kingdom. Now, we have a kingdom here in the United States. We have president, we have Congress, things like that. You violate the laws, they're going to send the cops after you. They're going to send the army after you if you attack our borders. God has a kingdom. He protects the borders of that kingdom. And he has the power to rule. We recognize only his right, but his omnipotent power to answer our prayers, to keep us within the kingdom, serving him as we would. And he puts all enemies down that will come after us. The last enemy is death, caused by the sin that I committed, caused by the sin that every man has committed, and that was defeated at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He who defeated death and sin can defeat every other enemy and can deliver anything that we need to accomplish his will in this life. Now, with the kingdom's power comes glory forever. It's a righteous, all-powerful, and eternal kingdom. Glory comes from him answering our petitions, proving his promises are true, and proving his love to us. He defends us from Satan and receives the praise of all the saints all over the world. And when we fail, he'll give us any reasons to praise him later as he puts us through trials and delivers us from him. Now, the word for in that verse signifies God's reign, power, and glory, manifested for our benefit. It is his glory we focus on, not our selfish needs. I want him to answer my prayer. Why? Because I need certain things to accomplish his will in my life. He will give us the desires of our heart when we seek him, because he has given us his call. Our hearts have the desire to serve him, so he gives us those desires to serve and glorify him. If I just wanted for a new house or something like that, I don't have my heart right. I'm not going to serve him correctly. I'm asking, which we'll look in a few weeks, I'm trying to ask prayers that satisfy the lusts of my heart. That's not a prayer he'll answer. He'll answer it when my heart is right, wanting to serve God. So let us glorify God by recognizing who he is and what he is. So, once again, looking at the whole thing. This is a pattern of how to pray and not the actual required words. Wrote this before. We've been talking about freezers and things, okay? We have a problem with that right now. It's a different story. But if I have a freezer that's absolutely full of bread, would I ask for my daily bread or I ask for meat to go with the freezer, with the bread? You ask for what you need. You ask for what you were lacking at the time, knowing God would deliver it. If you sin, ask forgiveness for the sin and not debts in general. Lord, I got angry at the man who cut me off. Forgive me for my unchristian attitude and give me the spirit of forgiveness to that man. Would that not be a little bit better than saying, forgive me my debts? It's showing you recognize where you fell short. It's showing you recognize what you have to do to improve your life, Christian walk. It's showing you recognize that I fall short of God. Now, if I just go to bed every night, oh, forgive me my debts, it doesn't show God I'm really taking it seriously, what I'm praying. Contemplate on who he is and praise him as you glorify him in your own words from your heart as he answers your prayers and increases your faith. Now, every day, I might be focusing on a deeper part of that prayer. Because every day, hey, I've learned that, but man, I just realized something. And I might focus on that more. He's given us a pattern to show us how to learn more about him. Man lost in history gave us the following quote on making this an ineffective prayer. I cannot say our if I live only for myself. I cannot say Father if I do not endeavor each day to act like it's his child. I cannot say who art in heaven if I am not laying up treasure there. I cannot say hallowed be thy name if I'm not striving for holiness. I cannot say thy kingdom come if I am not doing all in my power to hasten that wonderful event. I cannot say thy will be done if I'm disobedient to his word. I cannot say on earth as it is in heaven if I'll not serve him here and now. I cannot say give us this day our daily bread if I am dishonest or am seeking things by subterfuge. I cannot say forgive us our debts if I harbor a grudge against anybody. I cannot say lead us into temptation if I deliberately place myself in its path. I cannot say deliver us from evil if I do not put on the whole armor of God. I cannot say thine is the kingdom if I do not give the king the loyalty due to him from a faithful subject. I cannot attribute to him the power if I fear what men may do. I cannot ascribe to him the glory if I'm seeking honor only for myself. And I cannot say forever if the horizon of my life is bounded completely by time. Let us ensure we preface our prayer by focusing on exactly who and what we are praying to. Once again, the Almighty, eternal, all-powerful, ever-present God of the universe, who knows the past, the present, and the future, and controls all in his hand. Then acknowledge his power and rule to right to rule, that he is eternal king. Come boldly to the throne of grace, called there by God to glorify him and bring not only your praise to him, but also your petitions. Because he is pleased to answer if you show reliance on him, because that glorifies him by his answer, and you can do his will as a simple person that has absolutely no ability on his own, but letting yourself be ruled by Christ, letting him work through you for his glory. With that, your prayers will be answered, your faith will be increased, and you'll be able to come even more boldly next time to the throne of grace, glorifying him that much more. With that, I didn't bring it up here. What the number are we doing?
516.
Turn your hymnals to 516. Don't have to hide my microphone this time.
Right? Turn with me to 516, and please stand as we sing. As you're all on the altar.
Thank you.
Almighty God, how powerful He is. When we do that, it is easy to yield Him His body and soul. We forget that every now and then. That's why He gave us this pattern, to focus on who He is and what He is. As we do so, we realize this is the eternal God of the Bible, who has called me to be His son or His daughter. He wants to give me the things that will glorify Him. He wants me to serve Him, and He will answer any prayer I have to do exactly that. If we realize that, it's easy to yield your body and soul. It's when we pull back and want to do it our way that we have problems. That's when God will correct us and give us once again the ability to serve Him in His way. The first thing about this, though, you can't fervently pray to Him if He's not your Father. He's only your Father if you've accepted the fact that you're a sinner bound for hell. And if you're bound for hell, it's a debt that you cannot pay. Jesus Christ paid that debt. He took His own body on that cross, shed the blood for me, that I may then be saved. That's true for anybody else in here. Accept that free gift, your penalty's paid. You're a son or daughter of God, and you can fervently seek Him, and He will answer your prayers. So as we get ready, Matt plays one more verse. Think about that. Think about what you need to do. Think about, are you saved? And if you are saved, do you recognize Him for who He is? It's incomprehensible. I can't comprehend what and who He is, but I see the glory of the Bible. Contemplate on that. That's what this prayer is all about. And then we'll close in prayer. And I'm not sure if we're eating here today or not. We'll figure that out afterward. So, as Molly prays, go to that throne of grace and seek Him for who He is, what He is, and glorify everything about Him. Heavenly Father, as I pray right now, I am in the presence of the holy, almighty, eternal God of the universe, who bids me to come to Him. Lord, it is a privilege beyond compare. It's a privilege beyond comprehension, and yet we don't take advantage of it. Lord, let us come to You, realizing who and what You are, the God of the universe, who has established the past, the present, the future, who knows the end from the beginning, and has deemed us worthy to serve Him by the blood of Jesus Christ shed for the remission of our sins, that we may be adopted as sons and daughters and serve You forevermore. Lord, let us come to You, realizing who and what You are, glorifying You for the ability to answer prayers, and glorifying You for the fact that You call us to You. Let us lay our petitions knowing that You can answer them. And Lord, if we are incorrect in our thinking, if we don't understand all things, correct us, that we may realize who You are, what You are, that You have the power, and that it show us our faith and reliance on You. If there's any here, Lord, that aren't saved, that are not sons and daughters of God, let today be that day, that their heart be gloriously converted to You, that they may see You who You are, realize that they have rebelled against the King and deserve that punishment in hell, but You have called them back to a glorious future as a son or daughter of God, and let them today take that step and allow themselves to be adopted by God by their faith in the blood of Christ for remission of sins. We ask it all in Your precious Son's dear name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.